Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Which WWE superstar was injured this week?
How many pay-per-views will TNA air this year?
And who watched a lot of indie wrestling last weekend? All this and much, much more this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So for the, I think this is the 28th time, Terry Funk has retired. But is this for the last time, Aaron?
No. Terry Funk first retired in like 1985. So how many times is he actually going to retire? You know, it's just kind of funny. I think he does it to get his name out there, honestly. But Andy, let's move on to actual real news. So you watched a little bit of independent wrestling this
week. I watched a lot of independent wrestling this week. I was actually working on my office, believe it or not, and I actually was going through comics because I'm figuring out which ones do I want to keep, which ones aren't worth anything. And, you know, basically some of them are going to go to a friend of the show, Doug Hahn, and then the rest are going to go on eBay. Well, anyways, so I had Chikara. I had a couple of their shows. I'm like, oh, I'm going to finally watch them. So I watched, I think it's called The Cherubinetco, I think is what they said, and also Under the Hood. And the first one was actually pretty good for Chikara Wrestling. It was a very good show. Lots of good matches. I've never watched it before, so this is kind of a new thing to me. And then also, Under the Hood was a good pay-per-view, but it wasn't as good as the previous one. They have a guy named Mr. Touchdown on there. Good thing. It was actually a decent show. It's definitely worth the money. You know, they're not sponsoring us or anything, but I will say it was that good to watch it. But the one show that I watched that was really, really good was Ring of Honor's Final Battle. It had some great matches in there. One of them, Adam Cole, who is actually getting looked at from the WWE now. He had a great match with Matt Hardy. And Matt Hardy looked good for a change, so I got to give him credit. But the match was this thing called Ladder Wars 4. Never seen it before, but Kevin Steen is the Ring of Honor champion. And he wrestled this guy named El Generico. And he took one of the best moves I've seen in a while. He gave him a package pile driver on top. Basically, they had the ladder stacked up against each other, and then they had two ladders parallel. So it looked like an equal sign, and then they had the ladders on each side. Steen picked up El Generico, gave him the package pile driver through both ladders. Honestly, I didn't know what to say after that. I was like, is he dead? Is the first thing I thought. Great match.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is going to tie into the next thing that happened this week also. Is that El Generico reportedly is signed with the WWE. Complete coincidence. Mm-hmm. Couldn't believe it. And why?
Which is quite surprising. You know, it's one of those things where if you have somebody that has a lot of talent, it's not a bad idea to, you know, try and wrap them up. And, you know, with what you're saying about the battle that he had recently, it seems like he's probably a pretty decent superstar. The only downside is he's going to have to wrestle the WWE way, which means that's not going to be as flashy and you're not going to have nearly as much fun as you do in Chikara or in Ring of Honor. But Andy, I want to move in though to something else that happened. So the Pope announced on Twitter that he is gone from TNA. Now you hear that and you're like, oh, that's sad. But I got to ask you this. Devon said the same thing, and it turns out that he was a member of the Aces and Eights. Do you think that this is another swerve?
No, I think he's done. I think what I'm almost wondering, do you think he'd go back to the WWE?
It might not be a bad thing. I've always said, and I still feel this way, you know, this is what I miss about WCW, is you have people come and go. And that made it a lot of fun. So having, you know, Chris Jericho come to WCW, having him go to WWF, you know, having people go back and forth was really cool. So to have Pope, who was in WWE, you know, ECW, WWE, go to TNA and then go back to WWE, it may not be a bad thing.
Is it Elijah Burke? Was that his name?
Yes.
Okay, I was trying to remember it. I was like, oh, what was his name in the WWE? That's right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he comes back, because one thing that I've noticed, with especially with the El Generico signing, I'm wondering, is the WWE actually taking back and saying maybe those 6'5 guys that are big and muscular isn't the way to go? Maybe it's Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, maybe it's, you know, CM Punk, you know, Corey Graves. Maybe that's the style that they're going to go with. It could be, because El Generico, when he comes to the WWE, because he's a masked wrestler, honestly, I'm telling you right now, he's going to sell masks big time. Big time.
Well, the other thing, too, is maybe they're trying to repackage SmackDown. You know, I said before, there is no brand split. And so if you bring in some of these guys that maybe aren't as well known, and then you put them on SmackDown, and you develop them on SmackDown, and then you graduate them to Raw. So you have Raw as your main show, and you have a title on SmackDown. You call it the SmackDown title or whatever, and you could have someone like Elijah Burke as your champion and not feel bad, because it's a SmackDown title. Who cares, you know? Right? You could do that. But I don't know. That's WWE. I doubt they'll do it. But, you know, something else that's interesting, Andy, is that Tyson Kidd, he hurt his knee, and he's going to be out for 12 months.
This is really sad, because it, you know, CM Punk just said something on Raw about this, about guys like Tyson Kidd. Well, Tyson's out now for 12 months. I mean, he is done. He can't do anything. If I'm correct, the first 12 weeks is the worst, because he basically sits and does nothing. He has to sit there and watch wrestling. And you got to remember, this kid, if I'm correct, he's been wrestling since he was 14, and now he has to take a break.
Yeah, and three full months of doing nothing.
Yeah, you're just laying around doing nothing.
You hear 12 days and you go, all right, I can play video games. You know, I can watch some TV, catch up on a few things. This is 12 weeks. You get bored with that after a while. So unfortunate news. Obviously, we got a lot of news to talk about. The last big thing that happened, TNA cuts down to 4 main pay-per-views a year. Now, a lot of people are going to read this headline and go, wow, that's pretty ballsy to do. You're going to only 4 pay-per-views. But it's kind of a false nomer, Andy, because they're actually going to still be airing 3-hour pay-per-view specials for a cheaper price. You know, I've seen 7. I've also seen 8. So, you know, I guess we'll get confirmation on that a little later. What's interesting, and I want to throw this by you to see what you think about it. So they're doing themed pay-per-view. So they have 4 normal ones going on, Bound for Glory, of course, being the main one. But when they're not having a main pay-per-view, they're going to have TNA Extravaganza, which is Stars of the X Division. Does that sound interesting to you?
That does sound interesting, because you'll showcase another side of the company by doing that. By having you basically have a show basically all about cruiserweights. You're like, okay, we're going to showcase cruiserweights this week. Okay, this week we're going to, you know, bring back, Fall Brawl, if you want to call it that. It was Fall Brawl. That's right. The 2 rings.
Yeah. Well, and that's something else. So one of the ones that actually really interested me. So, you know, I heard that. I'm like, that's kind of cool. They're doing another X Division World Cup tournament, which is also kind of neat. There's one called TNA International Incident, which is a one-night tournament featuring talent from the U.S., India, Mexico, you know, all over the world. And it's going to be basically the winner is going to get a TNA title shot. And they didn't specify if it was that night or if it would be a build up to another pay-per-view, which would be kind of cool, I think. You know, you do a couple month build up to it. But there's one here that I like that you know, kind of were talking about a little bit. TNA World Cup of Wrestling. 4 teams, each captained by a TNA wrestler, featuring a heavyweight, tag team, and X Division wrestler, battle in singles, tag, and stipulation bouts. The finale will be a 2-ring triple chance battle royale.
How are they going to do that?
That's a mouthful. mouthful. But 2 rings, battle royale. Now, they say triple chance, which sounds like, okay, you can go over the top 3 different times. I don't know, I guess. But 2 rings, though, they, like you said, they did this at Fall Brawl. Does that interest you at all?
It does, but how is it going to work? That's what I want to know. Where are the rules going to be? I don't like the fact when they say this is how it's going to be, but they wait until the last second. Like the one year they had Royal Rumble and they had 40 people in it. Okay, well, I don't like that. What's the point of having 40 people? It's 30. Leave it at 30. They should. I wish they would actually. Okay, they shouldn't do it, but they should, to make me happy. They should actually tell me exactly how it's going to work. Is it going to be that if you are pinned three times, or if your team loses three times and they're not in it, I mean, how does that work? I mean, is it going to have like one big battle royale? I have so many questions about this. We don't have they need to tell me this now.
The thing that is interesting, though, that I was reading is that they're saying that these are going to be taped shows, and they're saying that they're going to be $15 a show. So, for example, you hear about this, you know that you're going to get the results beforehand. Would you pay $15 for a really cool show?
I used to pay $10 to watch the TNA shows back in 2001, 2002-ish. So I can't say anything. But for $15, if I read the spoilers and people were like, dude, buy it. You know, I'd pay the $15 because for them, it's not a big deal. It's not live, number one. And number two, they've already packaged it together. Mm-hmm. You know, for them, it's going to be an easy thing. If they sell, you know, like, let's just say they sell 1,000 of them. All right. So they just made technically $15,000 was bought off it. Okay, well, $15,000 was bought off it. You know, when it's all said and done, they probably made $8,000 off the thing when it's all said and done. Okay, that's not bad. Just for having a taped show, and if it's that good, maybe they get more than just 1,000 buys. Maybe they actually get the regular 10,000 buys. If they do that for $15 and they package it up on Saturday night, can't
beat
that.
Here's the other part, too. So it's going to be $14.95, and it's going to be on Friday nights. So you'll have pay-per-views. There'll be four big pay-per-views, which is Genesis, Lockdown, Slammiversary, Bound for Glory. Those pay-per-views will be on Sundays, but the newly announced ones will be on Friday nights.
Okay. Now that changes stuff, because I don't think it's going to be taped. They're probably going to have it live.
Well, no. Some of them are taped. I know at least a few of them will be taped. No
I bet
what.
You a couple of them will be taped, but it'll be the ones that they have over the UK. Well, actually, you know what? That's a good point. Because the thing is, if you have TNA live on Thursday, then Friday, why wouldn't you just have the show then? You see what I'm getting at? Like,
no, it makes sense.
It makes sense when you tape it. But do you think they're doing this because the WWE is going to definitely launch a network this year? Because if the WWE does the free pay-per-views, but you're paying $15 a month to have that channel, it's the same thing, basically.
No, I think that they're doing this because they want to try it out to see if Friday nights is a viable option. And the other thing, too, is even though it costs money, it could possibly pull people away from SmackDown, which airs on Fridays.
I don't know about that, dude.
But, Andy, so this is something we'll have to talk about when we get a little more information. Yes, but WWE, Andy, biggest news of the week.
Zack Ryder was snubbed out of the Twitter list. Are you serious, bro?
He's seriously gone at the end of the year. You are correct.
And the thing is,
in your prediction.
And here's what ticks me off about it. They gave him a character that was supposed to be nothing. He made it into something. And the crowd loves him because of it. He basically did something simple. He started featuring people on his show. Like, hey, if you had the sign, I'm going to put it on my show. People started coming to the arenas wanting Zack Ryder. Now what? He basically took a crack gimmick that they thought, oh, this guy's going to be gone anyways. Him and Kurt Hawkins, we'll just see them gone. And look what happened. He turned it into something.
Yeah, he did.
They gave him a crappy finishing move. Still turned it into something. He keeps doing it. And he was, at one point, he was, I think, the most popular wrestler at one point in the WWE. And then they screwed it up. They took him off TV. He gets hurt. Eve is his girlfriend.
Yeah, that whole thing just ruined him. And you know who else is getting ruined too, Andy? I think that you're right, is Kofi Kingston. He got buried this week. He lost a Big Show in like 30 seconds.
In his defense, there was a reason for this. They were either going to have this happen or just scrap the entire match out together.
And they should have just scrapped it.
They should have just scrapped it because they were going against the BCS game and they wanted to wait to halftime so they could have the Punk Ryback match. Smart move. But stupid that they let all this time. You know, they could have cut stuff out earlier, but they didn't. You know, there was a women's match that didn't need to happen. Mm-hmm. That could have been cut out. Who cares about that match?
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. Instead, you have Kofi Kingston, a crowd favorite, come out with no pyro, comes out and basically gets punched 1, 2, 3. Okay, there was no reason for that. Yeah, Absolutely no reason.
None whatsoever. So speaking of the Punk and Ryback match, I want to start off by saying this. That match Ryback deserves a ton of credit for it. He did some stuff in that match that was just genius that veterans do, that Hogan used to do back in the day about interacting with the crowd. So he had the chair, he had the ladder, he picks up Punk for the suplex, and he's like, which one should I go for? And the crowd was getting into it, and so the people at home are really happy about that, and they're getting into it as well. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit for that. Now, if he gets a little more in-ring work, then I think that it'll be a little bit better.
Yeah, and that's something that a lot of guys, I think, are scared to do, because when you're a wrestler, you're good in that ring, but you don't bring the crowd in a lot of times. Ryback did, you're right, he did something that a lot of guys don't do until years later. He looked at the crowd and said, which one do you want me to do? You know, the crowd is digging him. He's not championship material, not that high yet, but he's actually getting the crowd into it, especially when he's about to do his meat hook, the feed, you know. He's interacting with the crowd. That's something that you can't – it's hard to teach guys that, because I think they get scared. He's coming – I don't – it's great. I mean, like, I used to – I mean, we were bashing him recently, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, he did something right that no one – none of the newcomers have been doing.
Give him credit. And I think that's something that really, you know, talks about his, you know, his – the credit that we need to give him, which is that he did a very good thing. If he gets a little more in-ring work, you teach him how to wrestle a little bit better, and also you make his character a little bit vulnerable, that he can be beat. You know, I'm not saying have Kofi Kingston beat him, but make it so he can lose to you know, big-name people, and he doesn't just trample over everybody. Then you have a really good superstar, and then you have somebody who can be kind of the next Goldberg, you know, but have a little more of a depth to him. I don't think he'd be the face of the company, but he would be there in the same breath in the Attitude era as you talk about Stone Cold, Rock, Triple H, Mick Foley, Undertaker, you know, or you go back Hogan, Warrior, Macho Man. He could be
top five.
Punk, Cena, Ryback, you know.
Yeah, he would be in the top five, definitely. And I think that's where he's headed, in all seriousness. But here's the weird thing, of course, that happens during the match, and this is what I didn't understand. Why did the lights go out? But is it because I think it's because it's less dangerous. So the Shield comes out and just takes care of it. Punk becomes the champion, or stays. He retains his title again. So he retains. But something interesting happened later on. CM Punk came out, cut a promo, and something happened. They needed one more commercial break. And I thought this was genius of the WWE to do this. They told him that this is going to happen. So they send... Basically, Punk goes through his promo, excellent promo, compares himself to a couple other guys who used to wrestle. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But then they have a stagehand basically come out and tell him that, hey, we're going to commercial. Funniest thing. And CM Punk took it. He just took it to the next level.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was that was probably the best thing that could have happened that night, was that part.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. First of all, the promo he had was really good. It was one of those things where they kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit to kind of show the Wizard of Oz, but not completely pull it back and show you, you know, how everything works. And I think that's the smart thing to do. I think that they did something really well. And WWE, you know, in particular Raw this week, it had its low moments. Punk Ryback, though, was great. And then the last 30 minutes were also really great. Punk's promo... awesome. He really, really did a good thing. And I think if you were watching it, especially for the first time, you'd be like, oh, who's this guy making noise? You know, he's the champion. Like, holy crap. He's just telling it like it is. I got to listen. I got to see what happens. And then you see them cut to commercial in the middle of his promo. You're like, oh, I got to see what's going to happen now. I got to wait. And then you hear Rock come out and you're like, holy crap. I am staying here for the next 30 minutes because of the story that they are telling. Kudos to the WWE for what they did this week.
I almost wonder what CM Punk said during the commercial break.
I know. I didn't see anything online about that.
I know. I would love to hear that. So here's the thing. So Punk vs. Rock is going to be held back a little. They didn't want it to outshine what's happening next week. Of course, because it should have happened this week, but it's not going to. Because... the 20th anniversary of Raw is actually coming up. It's actually Monday. Mm-hmm. They are trying to get some big names back. One of them that I saw since on Twitter, she said she hasn't been contacted, was Medusa. But if anyone knows about anything in this wrestling world and also Hollywood, they wait until 3 hours before the show starts to call you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw one name getting thrown around.
And which one was that?
Batista.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Isn't he going to be like in a G.I. Joe movie or something like that?
I don't know. Well, Andy, let's move on, though, to something that was very interesting. Alberto Del Rio beat Big Show in a last man standing match to win the world heavyweight title.
Which doesn't make sense on a tape show. Why? And then they announced it. They've done this before.
I do not understand why you announce any of this stuff. Now, to its credit, when WCW announced that, oh, hey, and over on WWF, Mick Foley is going to win the title, you're going to turn the channel because you're like, whoa, there's no way that's going to happen. Because you heard it on a competitor show. But mm-hmm. if you are a fan of the WWE and you see on their website Alberto Del Rio is going to win the title on SmackDown, well, why do I need to watch it? That's like saying, oh, hey, by the way, at the end of this movie, the main character dies, just to let you know.
By the way, just to let you know, Jason still lives.
Thanks for telling me. Thank you so much. Oh.
You know what? Okay. It's kind of a tough thing, though, dude, because when you think about it, you don't want to tell the people, but you had 15,000 people already see it. So you're at a dilemma. Do you let the entire world know from your website, or do you wait till Friday? Because, the fact that it's Big Show, it's a different story because you're like, in a last man standing match, how did Del Rio beat him? You know, that would make me, okay, now I have to see it. But when they've done it before, when Christian won the title against Orton, and then drops it to Orton, and they announced it, I was like, why? That didn't make sense. This kind of makes more sense than the other ones.
Well, the only other thing, though, I was thinking about, too, why not do this at the 20th anniversary edition of Raw? You could always do it there. I don't understand why you have these people win the titles on tape delays. I fast-forwarded through Wade Barrett's match against Kofi Kingston knowing that he was going to win the title. Fast forwarded through. I would watch that match normally, but I knew what the end result was going to be, and so I couldn't watch it last week. This week, same thing. I'm going to fast forward to the very end just to see what the finish is. So, honestly, I think that they did some good stuff this week. They did some stupid stuff, too. So, let's move on to our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code off the mark, and you'll save 25% off web hosting packages. So, what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of web hosting costs. Also, make sure you go to Section 86. If you haven't been there yet, and if you click around for a little bit, you're gonna see a little banner for WWEshop.com. They have different promotions going on. Some are save 20% if you spend $60, and some are save $10 if you spend $70 or more by using a coupon that actually says it in the banner. So go ahead and check that out, and make sure you check out HighSpots.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling. Mike Knox takes out Kurt Angle in a cheap way, though.
Yes. So the big match of the night. First of all, I got to say this much. There was 30 minutes left on my DVR, and I see that Ken Anderson is going to take on Kurt Angle. And I go, okay, they're giving them some time. Like, this is pretty awesome here. And then Angle gets taken out immediately by Mike Knox, who is making up for losing his mask last week. And so instead, Mike Knox is going to take on Sting, and then that match ends. And then there's this whole hubbub going on. In the world of TNA with Brooke and the Aces and Eights, and then Bully comes back anyway, and then he gets in the ring and Hogan and him are having words, and for whatever reason Bully asks Brooke to marry him.
Now, we should point out that he is married in real life very happily to his wife. Mm-hmm. How are they going to get married? Oh, wait, that's right. If I became a mark, that's what would happen.
Yeah.
But since it's a wrestling storyline, it's okay.
So, you know, I would like to point one thing out here, okay? I just told you what the last 30 minutes of Impact Wrestling was this week. There's a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday. And you know what they did to hype it? They had a tag match with the three of the people who were in the world title match with three of them. And then you had Christopher Daniels come down and interfere with James Storm, who he's going to take on now. And really, that's it. That's about all that happened to hype the pay-per-view. And it makes me wonder, like, the Aces and Eights thing is a bigger deal to them than a triple threat match for the TNA title. And in my opinion, that should be the focus. And it will be the main event, and it will close the show. I don't understand why the Aces and Eights thing closed the show tonight. I think that was really, really dumb.
And the weird part is they've had so many great shows, and except that they – I don't think they really pushed the pay-per-view.
No. And they're doing only four main pay-per-views this year? You need to be pushing that like crack. You do not drop the ball this close to the pay-per-view. Instead, you have the focus on Hogan. Look, I was praising TNA for everything that they were doing right. This week was a disaster. When you had four main things are going on this year and you drop the ball on one, 25% of it so far is ruined, in my opinion.
You have 11 months and three more made pay-per-views and they screwed up the first one of the year. Yeah, I thought the show was put together really bad. And there's no reason for it not to be if they've had all this time to know exactly what they're doing. I don't know why Joseph Parks came out. I didn't get that.
Oh, that whole thing. Yeah, that it's not even worth talking about. That's the problem.
And you know what's not talking about? The fact that Robbie E and Robbie T, that whole thing, that was stupid. Are they wrestling a match?
Yes.
Oh, that's why. Stupid. Didn't even talk about the match. The Robbie T decided to dance. Big deal. So, unbelievable. Yeah. Horrible puts. I thought that this is a bad show. Anyway, let's move on to our weekly topic. Something happened this week. CM Punk said something, and it referred to the fact that they only put, like, WWE at one point only pushed stuff at Madison Square Garden because that's the big place to go to. And he said something in there about Bruno and Backlund and Hogan that they would only wrestle once, maybe twice a month at Madison Square Garden. And he always pointed that out. Well, Billy Graham came out and said something for Bruno. And he said that he has no respect whatsoever for CM Punk or the WWE. And that he wants him to be in the Hall of Fame and blah, blah. The thing about this is, are they basically saying that he thinks this is real, or is it he just became a mark?
It's hard to say. I think that what CM Punk said was a lot of it was from the heart. You know, that was him speaking his mind. And so I think that Billy Graham was speaking his mind as well. And he was saying that you don't have any respect. But I got to say this. Punk is dead on. Look, it was a very different era. Very different era. And so Bruno wrestled once a month. And so you had very different people going to those shows and paying lots of money to see Bruno, who is the world champion, the WWF champion at the time. And he's going to take on the Iron Sheik. You know, he's going to be taking on all of these people. And you know he's going to win. You know he's going to win. And he holds the title for like 7 years or whatever, and then finally drops it to somebody else. Bob Backlund, kind of very similar thing. The only one, Hogan, who held the title from 84 to 88, which was before Raw even aired, you know. So you were seeing like WWF main event at the time, you know, different shows like that. But Hogan was the face. If John Cena was around during that era, then John Cena would have held the title for four straight years. It was the right person, right place, right time. And so that one's the only one where I go, well, maybe a little different. And Hogan was actually wrestling maybe a little bit more. Bruno, on the other hand, not a lot.
No, see, he did wrestle a lot, but the thing is, he would wrestle and he would have a squash match. Like they would wrestle if they would work 7 days a week, they would sometimes wrestle eight times. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, none of those matches mattered. It was basically, it's a house show. Titles don't change hands at house shows. So what CM Punk said was true. They may have that one big show at Madison Square Garden, and mm-hmm. they're going to push it. So they're going to go to every place around New York.
They're going to hit Jersey. They're going to hit Connecticut. They're going to hit, you know, maybe all the way up to Pennsylvania, all the way up to Pennsylvania. They're going to hit shows all the way around there, but they're just going to be squash matches. That's it. It's going to basically, you're going to have maybe 10 matches, you know, half heel, half face. And basically of those 10, you know, guys who are basically in the squash match, they're going to wrestle one of the other guys in a squash match. So basically, if the face in this match is the guy going to be wrestling the guy, the heel at the following, I'm messing this up. Basically face versus heel, or it's going to be face versus squash and then squash versus heel. And the face and the heel will face each other at that main show. They're going to promote it around that area because that's what you want to do. So there would be that one main show. The rest of the shows didn't matter. So he could say I wrestled 8 times a week. Oh yeah. But how many were real matches? You know, now even at house shows for WWE, they will have, you know, if they wrestle 4 times that week, they're going to have three matches that those guys would wrestle at a pay-per-view. You know, and then they'd have one where it's even, you know, I guess it would be the WrestleMania. That's what guys are doing on a daily basis. Those guys would probably survive nowadays, but there's no way they'd be champions as long as they were.
Yeah, and well, and also has to do with the TV too. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing in my opinion. Once Raw came out, then you saw the championship changing hands every few months, and you know, having Punk be the longest champion in the modern era, it's a really big deal. A really big deal. The last person to hold the title for over 365 days was Cena, and before that, it was I don't even know.
Hogan.
I mean, was it Hogan? You know, yeah,
no,
like
it would have been Nash.
No, he held it for like 360 something, but it wasn't 365. He held it for under a year, I think. You can probably fact check that.
Actually,
real quick,
yeah, but you're right on that. But it was the closest, though. I mean,
yeah,
so
yeah.
You had Cena, then you had to go to Nash, then he went to Hogan, that held it, you know, for at least 11 months.
Nonetheless, though, the point is that holding the title for that long is a really, really big accomplishment because most people don't hold it for that long because of the TV. Because it's like, oh, the people are getting tired. People are getting tired. People are getting tired of you holding the title. I think they did something really good with Punk's run to make the 400 days worthwhile. And if he drops the title to Rock at Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber, whichever one he drops in the title to, it's going to be a really big deal. It'll be a very, very big deal. And I think that him holding the title for 450 days, you know, that's a pretty big number. It probably won't be passed for, I would guess, I would be willing to bet 15 years, maybe even 20 years, that his title reign won't be passed by, you know, in that amount of time. Because if WWE is having a new show on every single night of the week, that's a lot of times you got to defend that title.
That is true. And they don't have a TV title yet, but yeah, we'll see about that. You know, that's probably what they're doing with Zack Ryder, is they're probably going to have him do the internet championship is going to be defended only on the internet. Anyways, but yeah, so I'm just wondering. So I guess what I'm asking everyone is he marking out or is this a work? Because it could be, if Bruno has always said, no, I don't want to do it. Okay, CM Punk mentions his name and then this comes out. Jericho said something about it as well. It's almost like, is this a work or is this, or are they being marks? You know,
Jericho saying it. Okay, that's a work. That's a work. But the other one, I don't know.
And, you know, it's one of those things that if anyone knows, it would be CM Punk, Vince McMahon, Bruno, and Graham. They would be the only ones who really knew if that's what was going on. I don't think that's what's going on, though. I think that they brought his name up because the thing is also that Bruno is more relevant now. I mean, people are like, who's this Bruno guy? You know, is it the guy that was, you know, just in a movie, you know, 4 or 5 years ago? No. It's a wrestler. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. But CM Punk was right. I think no matter how you look at it, you know, Hogan having it for 3 years is basically the equivalent now of holding the title for about 4 months. When you think
I had
about
it for 4 years. I don't know. I think that would be the equivalent of a year, you know, in my opinion. I think, well, because Hogan was the face of the company, he would have held the title for at least a year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's actually, you know, that's something very interesting to always think about. You know, what is it, guys? Is it, back then, is it one month equals 1 year? It could. You never, you know, in today's age, you never know.
I don't know. But anyway.
Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at Off the Mic. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at Off the Mark 86. Also, if you want to throw a statement out at us about the weekly topic with CM Punk being right, just go ahead and hit us at Off the Mark 86. I want to thank Any Six Productions for hosting and any of the podcasts, and I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.